Hey everybody. We're here. We're back. We're tired.
We're broken. If you can't tell, we're more of like black belt or busted right now than black belt or bust.
Yes, that's definitely how I feel. And I was going to ask you, how did Sophia's camp go?
Oh my God, it was wonderful. It was such like for those of you that don't know Sophia McDermott, she does lifestyle camps, very similar to how we've gone to seminars and camps for Natalie Boss that Misty works with for Body by Boss. Sophia has her own lifestyle camps and programs called Lethal Ladies. And they do similar stuff, but have different approaches and just two very amazing resources. So if you have a chance to go to either of those or both, it's great. This one was actually in Oceanside, California, and myself and about, I think there were like 15 other ladies, not including instructors and Sophia. And it was just we got there on Sunday, we left out about Thursday at lunch, plenty of training in, focused on some other workshops for meditation. And she brought in different facilitators to learn different types of healing. And so it was just great in terms of I've only been training with like two main guys, like black belts right now. So it was nice to be in an environment with a bunch of different ladies of all different rank and to like see how I held up when it came to jujitsu and to also be there was just such a good vibe and knowledge, particularly like the emotional knowledge. You know how I've told you that the different level, like the different kinds of intelligence. Like I'm actually pretty envious that you have that empathetic, like emotional intelligence, and you ha or have a better connection spiritually and mentally than I do. And there was just a great group where it was black belts and some white belts that were just so empathetic, and they could actually like reach into different parts of themselves, and then they could kind of like pick that out of you. So it was a really eye-opening week. Where I was like, oh, I didn't realize those things bothered me. Or one actually, she had me crying. It was her name was Valeria. She did tarot, and she was very much just like she could feel energies. And at one point, she just sat beside me, and she was just like, "You walk in a room, and I have to notice you." And I just start crying at the kitchen table. For some reason, that immediately brought me to like, I'm the last kid picked in high school for like kickball. So she said that. And so it was just things like that that just felt very awakening. And then in terms of jujitsu, all the stuff I've been working at on it really felt like it came to fruition going against people that I haven't rolled with before, I haven't trained with before. But yeah, wonderful experience. It got the ball rolling on a couple of things. So you and I actually haven't talked about this. So go out to California just to meet two girls from Denver. Their names, yeah, that they live 5 minutes down the road from me. We just go to different gyms and we've never met. Their names are Anna and Vanessa. They're just fantastic. It's like we've known each other for years and we didn't. And it just like it finally just happened. It was like this little trio. And they were saying before shutdown, there were actually retreats in Colorado where they had done like one here local, just for a lot of the local ladies. And then another one was planned and shutdown happened and they had to cancel it. And nobody ever picked it back up. So we were like, we could do a retreat. Let's do a Colorado retreat. Let's do a local retreat. So actually that's where I'm at right now is I'm gonna host a retreat with these ladies. Yeah. So it was just so weird where it's like, Sophia, damn it, you gave me all of these things to do now.
That's really cool. It is like really cool to hear you talk this way. Like, like talking to someone who does like tarot cards and,
You never thought it was going to happen, did it?
no. And like, yeah.
I'm
And
trying to
going to
be open
camp and
to it.
everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of those where I'm like, I'd. Coming from the science background, I feel like there's been an obstacle and a wall to reach even like just a more emotional and spiritual side of myself. Oh my God, I never thought I'd say that. But yeah, and then being around all these ladies that's what they fully commit themselves to is really cool. Even just being around them, that they're like, I can feel your energy. I can feel the vibe of the room. And I know what you're feeling. And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm feeling. Can you tell me what I'm feeling to help me kind of put a name to it?
Yeah,
Because these are
that's
things
really
you told me for years.
Yeah, and I know it's like woo-woo and whatever, and like, well, and that's what's really cool about like Natalie too, is like she has that sa science background, right? Like she does. She can give you the science of like healing, and but she also goes into the spiritual part of healing, especially like with trauma. Like she can tell you what's going on physically. Is it like on the physiological level of what happens when you go through trauma, or you know, when you're dealing with your nutrition and your training and all this stuff, she can tell you what's going on. But then there's also this aspect, this mental, spiritual aspect, and this disconnect. And you know, I feel like sometimes, like with me, I'm so much more in like the physical that I actually feel less connected from like the spiritual. And like when we talk about spiritual, it's not religious. Especially somebody like me who came from a very religious background and religious upbringing, but there's still that, you know, that disconnect. And I think it actually helps us. I mean, I think this conversation kind of helps us go into like, kind of helps us go into what we're talking about today as far as like,
Shifting into comp season.
yeah.
But it's like I think of like I really like how Natalie always uses the phrase lean into. And then especially being around Sophia, she's like, you need to be in charge of your own change. Where she's like, you're the one standing in the way of your own success. And it was really cool because another one of the ladies there, she was at the Performance Immersion Blueprint as well. She's done the work with Natalie and then also Sophia, and she's also part of the Lethal Ladies program. So it was really cool that we understood each other's experiences. And then a bunch of the ladies were like, oh, what does she also provide? And so we were able to talk about, you know, the similarities and differences. And it's all about, and it's very much what resources connect with you the most. Rather than, oh, you have to pick one over the other. That's not the case. It's anytime you're working with someone, you can pick and choose what you want to work with or about. And if you vibe with something over here with person A more and person B, why can't you reap the success of both? You know, so that's why some people are probably like, oh, they do kind of the same thing similarly, but they have different approaches and they're also different people. So they have different ways of teaching. So if maybe you're working with somebody, so maybe you're working with a dietitian and you don't really vibe with them and you don't understand it, but then you find another dietitian and you just understand that communication better. There's nothing wrong with either one. It's just how you receive that information. Just like professors, like if you're in a class and you're not learning optimally, it might not be that you can't learn. It might not be that you and that professor just don't vibe. So it might be go to another class, have another professor, be able to connect. But yeah, so honestly, the camp was kind of to get myself the ball rolling for like, okay, we're a month out to Master Worlds, my first Master Worlds. And I was just like, this would be a good reset button to get myself out of the gym, out of work, out of the state, to just focus on like, what do I need to reset myself to go into it? The only catch is that today I was like such a good mood. I felt so good about jujitsu. And then I got rocked. So jujitsu is a humbling bitch.
Yeah. Well, and I think what's so like jujitsu is this vessel that can bring a lot of us together and the resources we actually need outside of jujitsu, right? So like I wouldn't have met almost everybody that's in my close circle right now outside of like high school friends and family that I talk to. Everyone within my close circle is trains, either, you know, they train, and the mentorship and leadership, because me, I have used both of these resources in these camps as ways to get mentorship within my jiu-jitsu journey. And what's very interesting is, especially for for you to go to a camp like this, being so close to Master's World, but so good about it, is that you kind of learn to disconnect your results, your what you're doing competition wise, like results wise, to your self-worth, as someone like Natalie will definitely talk about regularly. Like, you've got to disconnect your results and yourself. And like, when you're doing something like these camps and you're doing these with women who are black belts, you know, they've and women who are currently black belts right now, and everything they've experienced in their upbringing through jujitsu, they're now using as a means to help other women who are now coming up within the art or the sport aspect of it, right? You know, you're going to have women who are doing jujitsu that never ever want to compete, will compete, or they stop competing, but they're dealing with other aspects in their lives, like career change, relationships, all these other things. So it's utilizing them and those communities as resources, to really stay connected with yourself. And like, for me, going into this master's world's like, I've done a lot of self-reflecting, and I truly, truly objectively looking at myself from the outside in, I have never put in this kind of work to get ready for a competition the way that I'm putting in the work. And not this overtraining, because I don't feel like I am overtraining, but I'm having to push through a lot of tough shit. A lot. I do cross train at another academy where I'm able to wrestle, and I do jujitsu. I don't have to, and it's really the day that I dread the most, because it's competition wrestling. I'm wrestling with high school wrestlers and All-American or collegiate All-American wrestlers in a tough setting, and there's no AC. We're in the south. It's hot, you know, and I have to push through a lot of mental things of like, you know, this is a sport where you have to stay on your feet. You can't go to your back and go to a guard. You have to get back on your feet and get to a top position. And after that, you know, I mean, that class can go from like an hour to an hour and a half. After that, we transition into competition jujitsu. I don't have any small women my size in there. These are all grown ass men who wrestle, do mixed martial arts, and jujitsu. They're going to take care of me physically. These are not dudes that, you know, ragdoll me or,
So what I
you know,
dealt with today.
but and they're not doing that to me, but I have to mentally push through what I went through in wrestling, and now I'm so tired, but I have to get through these rounds. Know how to take care of myself in that room. So what I'm doing is now is I'm getting through this mental training, and I'm fighting through these walls of resistance of like, I just want to rest, or you know, I don't want to work out. I don't want to do these things. I am so tired. And then I'm like, I don't have to do this. I can drop out of Master's Worlds if I
Any
wanted to.
point, yeah.
I could. But then I'm like, if I dropped out, what's going to happen is I know I'm going to regret dropping out and not seeing where my potential is. And my jujitsu has never been better than it is right now. And you know, the willpower and the strength, my conditioning, my endurance, these things that I'm doing, and which is one of the reasons I chose to do wrestling, is it's so uncomfortable from jujitsu, right? And like, I'm wrestling with active high school wrestlers. These are kids that like
They're
they
on
don't
it. Yeah.
yeah, and they like, and I can take care of myself. I'm responsible for my own safety. At any point, I can be like, yeah, I'm not doing this. But I have to mentally push through a lot of that training and the endurance aspect of it. So working towards this competition season where I'm like really putting in this work and this training the way that I am. But at the same time, is like there's this thing that I feel like I'm neglecting as far as like
going back to what you talked about too, is like that spiritual aspect of these things I need to do mentally for that preparation. And it's not just the like the self-worth and the results. It's more so of like, I think giving myself a moment to rest and not have to think about, oh, I've got to, get ready for Masters Worlds. So.
Yeah, it's, I feel like we fall into the trap when it comes to competition season. So you and I let me break it into this way. When people are either in comp season or in comp prep, they go about it two different ways, where they're either completely devoted to the camp and it's just for that one thing, or the others where they're like, let me get as many competitions under my belt as possible to prepare for it. And we've done both. And I feel like we're just in a phase where we're like, we don't have the time, energy, and effort to put into doing all of those competitions like we have before, where you and I both have just grinded for months straight. And it's because we had the next task, we had the next goal, we had the next thing to focus on that we weren't focusing on ourselves. But the second we stopped, we fell apart because our body was like, hey, you've been neglecting me. So I feel like the past 2 years, we kind of really did that. Like the second that they started having competitions after COVID, we were hitting them hard because we had that break and we didn't realize we had a break. We thought it was we're behind. We need to make up for all of this lost time. And so we were doing all those competitions. We were signing up for everything. You were signing up for more than I was, especially because I moved. And now we're like, we don't have to compete all the time. If we get in moods, sure, like local stuff, build it up. But now we're to the point where we're like, I can get some solid training at home. I don't need to just compete all the time to be a good competitor. Does that help with stuff like your mentality going into it, the feeling of readiness? Because you're like, oh, I've done this before. Yeah, it's going to influence it. However, it also, like, how much of a role is that going to play? Well, it's going to play how much you let it. So if we're like, if we go in knowing where it's like, I know I haven't rolled as much, like I haven't competed as much, shake the rust off, go on. But that doesn't mean I haven't had competition level roles at the gym. It doesn't mean I haven't put in the time and effort. And it's like you said, where it's like feeling the best we ever have. This is the least I've trained, where it's like in the week, dropped back as many as possible. I'm not even doing strength and conditioning every day like I was. This is the best I've ever felt. By taking time off of competing, it's like you said, that mentality of tying value and worth that we talk about, I haven't had that. I've just existed. And so for me, that's kind of why the camp was a great timing, because like I said, I mainly train with like two big black belts on Sundays and Friday nights. And then we do have comp class on Wednesday, but it's more of like drilling and specifics. And I'm with kind of the same person almost, over and over again. Who they're fantastic. No doubt, like no, nothing to take from that. It's just, it's a lot more drill. So it's a lot more like going through the motions, And with them, every once in a while, they can be kind of positive where they're like, yeah, no, like you're doing fine. And it's like, oh, well, I couldn't do anything. And they're like, well, I'm also twice your size and I'm also a black belt. You can't compare yourself to me. And it's like, but if I train with you every day, I need to compare myself to something. So by having the camp and having the opportunity to roll with ladies closer to my size, closer to my age, closer to my weight, it was really like a validation of where I'm at, that it was, oh, the time and effort is paying off. And this was a safe place for me to get roles in with body types and styles that I'm not familiar with to gauge myself going into Master Worlds. So I feel I'm like kind of riding a little bit of a high right now where it's like I feel a lot better about the game plan I chose, the work I've been doing, what styles I've been doing from that to now carry over for the next month. Because right now it's maintenance. It's not ramp up to get ready right now. We're a month out. Right now is you maintain until it's go time or you deal with your weight.
And I like right now I'm using the time from now to competition to look at smaller things, right? Where I'm like,
Like cleaning up, just cleaning it up, making it crisp, getting the timing, like You're dialing in right now rather than like, let me put my game, we're a month out, let me put my whole game together and learn it. It's more of like, nope, we have our games, we have our styles, we just got to make it crisp.
So that's what I'm doing right now. But like, even with jujitsu, because it's year long, we don't have seasons like other sports do, right? You do have gi season, you have no gi season, you have the majors, and you have like opens. And I'm just constantly training all the way through. As I do get closer, I'm doing a little bit more rigorous work, and I'm having to push myself harder, a little bit harder. And as you were talking about, like these, like the opens, or like how hard I was, like, we're going into competition, just signing up for everything. Like, I don't like want to do an open. Like, there's times where an open's coming up that's local. I'm like, I don't want to do it. Like, why? Like, I really, if I don't have a goal or like a reason to do it, why do it? And one of my next goals outside of what I'm trying to achieve the rest of the year is, if I do want to compete at a smaller competition, be it like an open or just like a new breed or something, my goal is not to win at those anymore. My goal is not to hit gold at every open I do. My goal is going to be to focus on certain aspects of my game, because I am at a point right now, I do want to win the things that I'm setting out for. So something like Masters Worlds or Nogi Worlds or Pans or whatever. However, I'm really trying to chase a skill set. I'm trying to clean up things like, what's wrong with my passing? Why am I getting swept when I pass a certain way? Why are they getting their guard back when they shouldn't? Or if I want to be able to play off my back, focus on things like escapes or hitting a certain sweep, like making sure that I can do these things, and also not always competing at the master's level. If my goal is not to win and my goal is to clean up what I'm doing, I want to compete in the adult divisions for opens, especially if my goal is not to win, because I'm like, well, I can test certain things out on some of these younger purple belts that are actively doing this and want to win, and just do things that focus on my skill set and developing that. Because the older I'm getting and the more I'm growing within jiu-jitsu, I love to teach, and there's the business side of things that I'm looking at. But to compete, I feel like helping other people who do want to compete, I'm placing myself in that position first. I can tell you how it feels to put your feet on those mats. Everything, all those things that you process and you feel, I know. I can watch some of the girls compete, and I know what they want to do, and I see them out there with their opponent, and I'm like, I know your nerves got to you. I'm like, I can see it. I can visually see that you got nervous and you got too scared to do something, but I'm not sitting there and I'm not yelling at him, mean like, don't be nervous or you should have done this. I'm like, I know exactly what you're going through, and I know how hard it is to hit that sweep. I'm like, the adrenaline's going, you're scared. And I'm like, I know that you're going through that. Some people don't always go through that. There's some people who can just go out there and compete, but sometimes I can actively see what's going on, and I can put my self in their shoes in that moment, and I can say, I can understand this is what you're going through, and I know how hard that is.
Well, that and sometimes, like, we want to help them so they don't have to struggle like we did. But there are some things where it's like, as much as I hate to say it, you need to go through it so that you can identify it to not revisit that place again. Where it's like my very first jiu-jitsu match ever, I was like 2 months into my white belt. They had one local in Mississippi. It was like, yeah, sign up. I had a whole panic attack that I've never had before in a match. And, but now I'm at, like, since then, I've always been able to identify where it's like, oh, as long as I don't revisit this place, then I'm good. And also, as you were talking, I had kind of like this funny epiphany where it's like, it took you stepping up to teach, to really step into yourself. And it took me stepping away from teaching to realize that it wasn't teaching so much as like, I just need connection.
Yeah.
With people in that community to be able to become my better self. So it's just, it's really funny to see where it's kind of like different parallels.
Yeah.
It's like you were saying how we have goals for ourselves for like the year, like Master Worlds is that's fantastic where it's like first Master Worlds. I'm excited. I want double gold, but that's not my biggest goal of the year.
Yeah. Like
mine actually already happened where I needed to be able to be comfortable as a guard passer. I always hesitated because I was like, I'm bad at it. Why don't I just play guard? I'm good at guard. And it was last week, like this past week, that every time I was with somebody, they were like, where do you want to start? And I was like, go to your favorite guard, go to your favorite pass. And I just did like half the roles. I played guard, half the roles I passed. And the fact that I finally had a mentality of like, whatever you give me, I'm going to pass.
Yeah.
Like that was my moment this year, was just give me a guard and I'm going to go through it.
And yeah.
So like for me, I'm like, I'm good. Like, do I want to win double gold at Master Worlds? Fuck yeah. However, my big win was the fact that I was like, I don't just go, oh, I'm a guard player. The fact that I don't just go, oh, I'm a guard passer. I'm just like, I just do jujitsu.
Well, you're becoming a more well-rounded martial artist, which ultimately should be the goal. And that's something that I've observed watching a lot of people who are successful at the black belt level. Is that, well, maybe not just the black belt, people who are successful in jiu-jitsu or achieve more, I guess, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Anyways, what I am ultimately trying to say is that what it comes down to is becoming more, becoming well-rounded, right? Like I've talked about with wrestling, I like being on my feet now, you know? And yeah, I'll like, when I'm grappling with a wrestler, I want to go to my back and I can't. It's so uncomfortable. I'm getting yelled at to turtle and I'm like, I don't want to turtle. Like, I want to go to my back. I get yelled at people. I watch the wrestlers do jiu-jitsu and they go belly down. And I'm like, you can't go belly down in jiu-jitsu. So it's such a weird transition. It's so fun to like experience this too. And like, yeah, going into Masters Worlds, like I would love to win, but at the same time, like I just want to be good at jiu-jitsu. Like I really just want to do the best jiu-jitsu that I'm able to do at this point.
It's like,
and that's really important to me.
It's like, we just want to showcase all the work we've put in. Good, bad, or ugly, we want to showcase it.
That's, and I think, so we can either, I say we can edit this out or just like keep it in because we only have like
10 minutes left. It just popped up in 10 minutes, yeah.
So we can kind of wrap this up if we need to make it like a two-parter, we can, but like, which is so different. This conversation went kind of like a different way than I thought it was. It was,
well, it's like, but it makes sense at the same time. Like you and I are in two completely different places. So we've approached getting ready for Master Worlds differently than we would have, like say at our blue belts. Blue belts,
yeah.
Like we were talking about earlier, there was like two paths where it's, you're either doing a bunch to get ready. And if that vibes with you, that vibes with you. That's great. If you need to focus on just shaking everything off, having a game plan, like go right ahead. But if you're like us and you're starting to, because you know, we've got other aspects of life and like teaching, work, all these other things. And not to say that if you do a lot of competitions, you don't have the stressors. It's just, that's what we are prioritizing. So for us, it's more of, let's change how we train and then just focus on one thing right now, which is Master World. And then also like, since you're teaching, having to switch and know, okay, how am I going to get my training in to have good quality training and get what I need if I'm also in a teaching position? So like I struggled with that when I was teaching and I wasn't.
Yeah.
And I still struggle with that because sometimes I feel like, oh, I need to keep a female training partner and I need to keep her in a good headspace and I need to keep her showing up so I have somebody. So I hold back. And now it's getting to the point where it's like, I can't do that anymore because now I'm teaching myself to hold back when the competition comes. So it's figuring out how to train with our training partners and get what we need in our own space.
Yeah. And like for me, teaching has been so helpful because I can analyze things from that. And in turn, it helps me become a better competitor. And, or I don't want to say better competitor because I think that's a completely different part of it. But what I'm really working towards is just becoming this better version of myself. And competing at this, it be trying to be an athlete at this age, which it's not old, you know, but in the athletic world, 36 is old. And I'm having to do a lot of rewiring and mental training and, you know, grow into who I want to be. And I'm still trying to figure out ultimately what the big goal is, but right now I can just focus on gaining a better skill set. And just working on being a better version of myself. Because if I can compete better than I did last time, not just at Masters Worlds, but better than I did at the last tournament, then that's great. And so I have small things that I'm really trying to focus on. But if I chase the skill and I chase the training and the better version of me, that's going to get me closer to the top of the podium, which is what I have to look at. The other thing I'm looking at is what has, and I have to be so objective with myself, and this is something that people really have to learn how to do. Like you have to say, what has been holding me back? If I can look at those points where I wanted to give up on myself and just like stop, what was it? I can identify that now and say, okay, if anything's going to hold me back, it's this. So that's what I'm actively working on improving in this moment or through my training, if that makes sense. So for me, it's going to be mental. It's going to be trusting my technique and not continuing to go when I get tired. So I'm doing things in training that are uncomfortable to get through those things. And so ultimately, we'll see what happens.
That and then like the first thing that popped in my head was that I know some people, whenever they're like, oh, it's so easy for you to say, like, it's not about winning when you don't have all these accolades behind your name. And I'm like, yeah, because we actually are happy with ourselves and our jujitsu. Like, I feel bad that you feel like the only way for you to feel satisfied with where you're at in your journey and your life and your jujitsu is the fact that you have to have a $5 gold medal. Like, I feel sorry for you. Like, for us, and I feel like I can say this collectively for the both of us, like, we did all of that work. We spent all that time with our teammates. We built those relationships. We built a better version of ourselves. That is what matters. The gold medal is like the icing on the cake, you know, but it's not the only thing. And so it's like for anyone who needs that medal, that's the end all be all. Like you need to see why. Why do you care so much about that medal? Is it because all the work and effort and everything it took to get it? Or is it because you just want to be like, I'm a world champion? Well, no one gives a fuck. They're gonna forget your name next year. Like it is what it is. Like that's great and that's wonderful. But like you've said before, no one cares till you're a black belt.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. I'm like, I could win Masters Worlds, you know, at the end of the month or at the beginning of September, whatever day I compete. And guess what? I have to
We gotta
try
go
to
back to
win it.
work Monday. Well,
Well,
Tuesday,
gotta
because
go
it's
to
a
work on Monday.
holiday. The holiday.
But the other thing is that I'm like, I will probably want to try to win it again next year. You know, I want to go after, you know, I want to win Nogi Worlds. And so figuring out, you know, those things just to be, and I think for me, like I said, like the ultimate goal is to be this higher version of myself, which I'm actively putting in the work. It's just so fucking hard. It is so hard.
Yeah.
There's so much resistance.
I get that. Like, for me, it's not even like being a better version. I'm trying to learn how to accept myself. Like, accept myself as what I am, and that that's okay. Oh, growth is hard.
Growth is very hard.
Growth is so hard. Okay. I think on that note, that's a good place to end. Where, guess what? Medals aren't everything. But if you are shifting into comp season, realize, like we were talking about at the beginning, give yourself a break. You don't have to just check every training session off the list. Like, did you enjoy it? Like, if the next month is absolute hell, one, you did it yourself. Two, why? Is it because now you're so focused on your weight? You're like, oh, I was partying and now my weight's not coming down. Or you're really healthy and you're like, why did I sign up for that other weight class? Or you don't feel great, where it's like, okay, why? Why don't you feel great? Maybe there's
Yeah.
other things you need to be addressing other than competing at Worlds.
And there's we both have access to resources for people who are listening. Like I said, like yeah, I do now work for Natalie, but she's a really good resource if you are actively struggling with things like tying your self-worth to your results and it truly affects you and your mental health and everything that you're doing. I think she's doing enrollment for her EAA program, or that's closing at the end of I don't know. I'll have to look.
I think it's enrolling, because the girl that also came to the camp with me was talking about it, because somebody had asked about like trauma-informed courses, and she was giving them
Yeah.
information on that.
Yeah. So she's got her EAA program, the Performance Blueprint. There are other resources out there that we can both lead you to. And to stay updated with us, you can follow Keely's controlling the black belt or bust Instagram right
I'm
now.
trying. I'm not Misty
Yeah.
level social media, but I'm trying.
And then you can
Go ahead.
keep up with me on, I was gonna say, you can keep up with me on my Instagram at what Misty does and Keely
At Keely
at
McCarty, and also local Colorado ladies, because I'm also really lazy in making any other accounts. I'm going to share information for that Colorado local ladies retreat that we're putting together through the Black Butter Bust page. So if you have any questions about that or anything else we talked about, feel free to message us on Instagram or email at ladies at blackbelt or bust@gmail.com. All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.